Okay, so we're up to Simin Yud. We've already done Gimel. We have just to do Yud Gimel. In the Sha'arim Mitzionim Behalacha, we're up to Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph. It's on page Samach Ches. Simin Yud, Sif Katan Gimel, on the bottom, in the Sha'arim Mitzionim Behalacha, Yud Gimel, B'mokim Shabbosa Hu Gavoa, the location of the tefillin is where the arm, the biceps begin to ascend upwards. The muscle. B'makom shabasar hi govoa. Ein ramah shelo yaniach b'chatzi u'etzem samuch lashechi. You shall not put it too high up. Do not put it near the armpit. Be careful not to. The proper location for the tefillin is the lower, pretty much the lower portion of your arm. Not to go lower than the bicep, but don't go too high up. Shelo yaniach b'chatzi u'etzem samuch lashechi. Do not put it upon the bone that is near the armpit because that is too high. Uvebeir hagrosham cholik al se. The gra, this is the famous machlokes. The gra holds that you can put tefillin higher up. The proper location of the tefillin is not necessarily all the way down towards the lower portion of the bicep. You can put the tefillin even higher up b'chatchila towards the armpit, higher up. That's the shita of the gra. The af motzui etzem lemaila basar, because that part, his reasoning is because that part portion also has a section of muscle, and that is fine. Uva orcha shulchan kosav demish sheish lemak al basar lemain af kamina lechatchila. According to all opinions, it's ideal to put the tefillin lower. Don't put the tefillin too high up. You should put lechatchila tefillin towards the lower, the part of the bicep where the bicep begins to ascend upwards. Not too low. Don't go to where your elbow. Don't go to the elbow. That's too low. But where the bicep begins to move up, that is a proper location according to all opinions. The gra is just lenient, you can go even higher up. But even the gra agrees that if you move the tefillin a little bit lower down to where the bicep begins to slant upwards, that's also good. So Lamay Nafkamina, Baruch HaShulchan says, a person has a makkah, he has a wound on that part of the low portion of the bicep, where you would ideally put your tefillin, and you have no choice, so lechatila you can put your tefillin a little bit higher up and your yatsa. Baruch HaShulchan, that you have no choice, you can rely. By the way, pretty much today we all rely upon the gra because our tefillin are very large. Our tefillin are, okay, I don't have, you have to really make a chart, I really should have done that, make a photocopy of the exact location, maybe I'll do that sometime in the future, but our tefillin today are pretty much, they're large, and most of the time our tefillin extend from the part of the tefillin which to the part of the arm which is only good according to the gra. A little bar mitzvah boy who you buy a regular pair of tefillin, certainly when he puts on his tefillin, there's no way in the world he's going to be able to get his tefillin in the area that is kosher according to the Ramah. It's a very small area from where the bicep begins to move up until you come to just a few inches, two, three inches above that. It's always going to extend further up on the arm to the section which is only good according to the gra. We have no choice. That's the way it is, so we rely upon it. Someone once came to Rav Pan, I remember the story, and they invented new tefillin. They didn't invent new tefillin, but they make the tefillin today. You can buy tefillin that are very tall. They're very, very tall, but they're very narrow. Today we have technology. They look at an average pair of tefillin; they're perfectly square. Yes, no, the halacha is only it should be perfectly square, but there's no requirement. The height is not. There's no requirement. It doesn't have to be cubed. Just has to be perfectly square. The width and length must be square, but the height can be taller. The reason why our tefillin are very wide is because sofrim cannot write today very small. They have to write a certain height. But we have technology where we can make the batten today extremely thin and very narrow. So you can make tefillin which are very small and tall. And the advantage is, being that they're tall, when you put the parshios in, the parashios are written full size. You don't have to write the parashios smaller than necessary. You can write the parashios in the regular size, the way you start and write it. You have special batim, which are very, very thin, and they're tall, but they're very small. And these are mehudarim, because you can then fit the tefillin shalyad on the exact location of where it's proper, according to the opinion of the Ramah. So Rav Pamiyeh have a very nice haskama. It's a wonderful thing. Person went around and promoting these tefillin, and they make them, they're already becoming much more popular. This probably goes back 15, 20 years. But Rav Pam himself didn't buy the tefillin. So someone asked, but if they're so mehudarim, why don't you buy your tefillin? Rav Pam says, my father didn't wear them, and my father's father didn't wear them. If it was, even though you're right, technically speaking, we have all of these hidurim, all of these hidurim, which you can do, but don't be moitzi las on the kadmonim. If it was good enough for our parents and our grandparents, it's good enough for us. You don't have to make yourself meshuga. You're right. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says where to put the tefillin shel yad, a bar mitzvah boy. It is impossible for a bar mitzvah boy to fit his tefillin shel yad in the location, that small little area that is ideal according to the shita of the Ramah. And even according to the shita of the Gro, which gives you another 2-3 inches, many times the tefillin that a bar mitzvah will put on his own will exceed that area as well. But pukhazi ma'amadvar, the whole world for generations has been putting on tefillin this size, at least as far as back as we can know, for at least a few hundred years, and it's accepted by the Gedolei Yisrael. That's the way it is. So you don't have to make yourself meshuga to go buy special tefillin, which are special dimensions, to make sure that you get your tefillin in exactly the right area. You do the best that you can, and that's all that you need. I'll just tell you a funny story, because I'm over here very...
The Shel Rosh,
it's not necessary, because the Tefillah Shel Rosh, our tefillin, you can fit in the proper size, where the hairs begin to grow, and it will not go further back than where the part of the head gets soft. We spoke about yesterday, that today, Bizman Hazel, most of us do not put the kesher, the dalit, and the tefillah shel rosh in the proper location. Most of us, the kesher sinks into the hole that is beneath the bone. That's also an example of something which Bizman Hazel, for whatever reason, we're not makbid on, because we have no choice. Like we said, because since our tefillin are pretty large, and our ritzuos today are almost double the width than is required, if you're going to try to put the kesher of the dalit on the bone where it's supposed to be, and put the tefillin where they're supposed to start, they're going to fall off your head. It's not going to work. So something has to go. So the best thing to do when you have to make a compromise is to allow the kesher to be put slightly lower than ideally it should be. That is okay. That's not ma'akev, but it is ma'akev not to allow the tefillin shel rosh to go lower than where your hairs begin to sprout. The thing that we have in Bayevsky is a Talmud of Rav Moshe. I'll tell you a very good story from Rav Moshe and Rav David. If you want, you can verify the story from Rav David. The story goes that Rav Moshe, we'll learn this later on, about the krichos, how you put on the tefillin shel yad. We all know when we put on the tefillin shel yad, we're going off the topic now, but you put on the tefillin shel yad, everyone wraps around 7 times, and then you wrap around 1 time on your hand just to keep it in place, and then you put on the tefillah shel rosh. You don't wrap around your finger 3 times until after you finish putting on the tefillah shel rosh. I assume that's what everyone here does. You make a little niach tefillin 7 times, 1 time around your hand, and then tefillah shel rosh, and then you come back and you do 3 times around your finger, and you finish up what you need to do around your hand. Rav Moshe's minagwats brought down all of the laws of tefillin. He only went around his hand maybe once or twice, maybe 3 times, and he wrapped it around his finger 3 times. Rav Moshe held that the ikur is to wrap around, the part of the tefillin shel yad is to wrap around your finger 3 times. And it's not an ikur to wrap around your arm 7 times. So he put on the tefillin shel yad, he made the bracha, he was mahadikit, he wrapped around his arm maybe 2-3 times, and then he wrapped to his finger right away 3 times around his finger, and then he put on the tefillin shel rosh, and then he went back, he took off from his finger 3 times, he wrapped it around 7 times, and redid the fingers. This is what Moshe did.
Is that a hefsek issue? Because Rabbi Shulman has pointed out that, I think it's the rush,
yeah,
didn't put it all the way around, he just wrapped it real, one time, put on the shel rosh, and
he didn't even do it around his finger altogether. He didn't do it right. So, there are different opinions. Rabbi Moshe, this was his minna. His minna was, it's a hefsek. He didn't wrap it around 7 times. He put it on the shel yad 2-3 times, and then on the finger, he felt that was an ikur in the midst of the tefillin shel yad. It's not a hefsek. That's much more important to do 3 times around the finger chumrah than it is to wrap around the hand. We don't do that. That's not accepted today. Today, it's accepted you wrap around 7 times. It's not a hefsek, and you don't do anything. You don't do it around your finger at all. You maybe wrap it around your hand just one time to make sure it doesn't unravel, and then you do the tefillin shel rosh. So someone once watched of David Feinstein, the son of Rav Moshe, put on tefillin, and he put on tefillin just like all of us. He put on tefillin shel yad. He wrapped it around 7 times, and he wrapped it around his hand once, and he put on the tefillin shel rosh. So he said to him, "I can't believe this. You're Rav Moshe's son. It says in all the svarim there, Rav Moshe, he did it only 3 times, to 1 time, and did it around his finger 3 times. How could you not follow the opinion of your father? We're all chalashing. Everyone today is chalashing to follow Rav Moshe. We don't do because, you know, merci ki yehoira. We don't want to go, we don't want to, merci. But you're his son. Why don't you do it?" So Rav, this is the way I heard the story. We have to verify the story. So Rav David Feinstein says, "Listen, I know what it says. I know what my father did. I know what it says in the books, what my father did. All I can tell you is, when I was 13 years old, my father taught me how to put on tefillin. Just like everyone's father teaches their son to put on tefillin. When I was 13 years old, my father taught me how to put on tefillin. He put on the tefillin. He wrapped it around with me 7 times, 1 time around my hand, and then we did the tefillin shel rosh. This is how he taught me to put on tefillin. What do you want from me? You're telling me what it says in the books what my father did? I'm doing what my father taught me to do when I was bar mitzvah."
Maybe later he is.
What?
He doesn't do a lot of things. He has 3 matzahs of the same that Moshe had 2.
2 matzahs, the grah. Okay, so you have to know when dealing with tefillin. Tefillin is one issue in halacha. It's a very unique area of halacha where it says one thing in the books, and we do it a little bit differently. And probably the most significant thing is the mokayim, where you put your tefillin. Ideally, you have to be very careful. The tefillin has to start where it says in the books, like we learned yesterday, the tefillin must start where the hairs begin to grow. The dalid goes on the bone. That's a very short distance. If your tefillin are slightly large, it's not going to fit. So the textbook doesn't work for most of us. It doesn't work. So something's gotten, why doesn't it work? We know why it doesn't work. Because our tefillin are too big. And mainly, our ritzuas are too wide. They're double as wide as they really should be. No one is coming to suggest to make the ritzuas half the size. Because if you make the ritzuas half the size in 5 minutes, the part of the tefillin where you make the kesher is going to get less than the kosher size, less than the size of a grain of barley, and then it is 100% pasul. So no one is coming to play around with the width. You don't see any kol kores, any hidurim that people should make the ritzuos more narrow than we have them today. Some of them are a little bit more narrow, different sizes. And no one's coming around and telling us, "Oh, you should not buy gastos, buy dakos, buy a little tefillin, because when you start making the tefillin a little bit smaller, you're running into many, many problems." And especially today, Baruch Hashem, there's population growth, and you have to mass produce tefillin. There's no way in the world you can mass produce little teeny tefillin for everyone and have surfer right, teeny little parshios. The smaller you go today, the more trouble. So it doesn't work. The textbook doesn't work. So what do you do? So you got to do the best you can do. And the best you can do for most people is you're not going to necessarily put the kesher shel dalit on the bone. You're going to put it a little bit lower down. But that's better than don't chas v'shalom allow your tefillin to fall below where their hairs begin to sprout. Because that's based upon the pasuk. That's by the way, what is that?
The beginning
of the bias.
So it's coming down?
No, the end of the bias then. The end, the very tip of the tefillin shel rosh must be above the area where hair once upon a time sprouted. We'll see in the Shabbos of Malacha an unusual person. You ever see a person has hair on his forehead? I never saw. Rahman al-Islam, appears the people that can have hair on their forehead, that does not count. But l'dayta eitzel kol adam. But in any event, then the tefillin shel yad is a much bigger problem. Because if you look at the textbook, you look at Shulchan Aruch, I don't like to say that it's not nice to say Shulchan Aruch is not a textbook, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the area for the tefillin shel yad is very, very small. And it just doesn't fit. Sorry to tell you, it doesn't fit. And a bar mitzvah boy, no way. Little bar mitzvah boy kids, little guys, before they have their growth spurt, It just doesn't fit. So what do? You do the best you can. You put it at the starting location, that's the ikur, and wherever it lands. Wherever high up it goes. That's what you do. You don't start going crazy and buying high-tech tefillin, which are very, very narrow, very, very tall. I look for all these eitzes. This was never done. If it's now you have it, you can do it, it's fine, but it's not something which the average person would play around with.
Okay, let's... to be sitting on your head. No point of it.
No point. No mashu of the tefillin.
You're not able to go like this and lift anything up.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you go like this, let's say you're tefillin. So if you go like this, you should not be able to
pick up the tefillin? Not necessarily. If it all depends on how a person's head is formed. Some people have a more pointy head, some people have a more round head.
For the most part, it should be sitting
on yes, top. Absolutely, should be sitting on top. The point is that no part of the tefillin should rest upon the head where hair did not once upon a time grow. Here, every part of where the tefillin is resting, once upon a time here should have sprouted from that area of the head. That comes from Lysa Simu, Karucha, Bein Einechem Lemes. A person may not make a bald spot between his eyes in mourning over the dead. And what do we do instead? We have a Gzeres Shava. In that same location where a person would be tempted to make a bald spot in mourning, in grief over the dead, in that same spot is where one puts tefillin. That tells us that there must be here. Because there must be potential to make a bald spot in that area. If there is no potential to make a bald spot in that area because hair does not grow in that area, that is not a kosher location for a tefillin. So the tefillin, that's critical. It's not so critical where the dalet should be. The dalet ideally should be on the bone. There are people that have very big heads. You look around, there are some people in shul that have very massively large heads, and they can do it. If they can do it, kol hakavod. Their dalet should not be in the hole, not be in the nape. That's what it's called. The nape is called the hole. It should be on the bone, which is higher than the average person. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Okay, let's go for it. Let's see.
You have to have little mirrors. You can look at it during davening. Look into the mirror and see where you're holding it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get, I don't know if we get, it's going to come up, but if someone has a cast or a sling on one.
Oh, we're going to discuss it. You don't do the other side. Never, never. You do it, you never do it on the other side. You only do it on the side. You do it on the cast. You have no choice.
On the cast?
Yeah. Really? On the cast. Okay, we'll come across that. We'll come across that later.
Yeah, the guy who
wears that's not a symbol. Yeah.
Okay.
If there is no one, so there's no tefillin. I don't think he puts on tefillin then. Let's see. Yudal. Let's see Yudal. Very bizarre halach in Yudalid in the bottom. B'makom shasa aros maschilim litzmayach ein b'shail tshuvas priasadesh she'im yesh lois aros b'makom hametzach. This is very strange. Achman will say this is not a normal situation. A person has hair that grows on his forehead. Oh, forehead. I want to put my tool, my mamish, on the forehead. So can you do that? Loy as linen busser didei. Butloy daitoy, well not daitoy, his situation is butloy. You follow the average person does not have hair on their forehead, they have hair on their head, and this individual may not put tefillin on his forehead. Loy as linen busser didei, el busser ruba the omo, you follow the majority of the world. Ulevushe mordechai, kosav de beish, keze yesh livdoik, b'mokim shemoicha shaltina groyfeis, to bevadai. I don't know what this means exactly. I'm just saying that this end point, where does the tefillin end? Such a person who has hair on his forehead, probably the end location for his tefillin is different than the average person as well, because obviously this, his anatomy is off. Something wrong. So where does this end? The end part, where is his skull soft? Or where was his skull soft when he was a child? I don't know exactly what this means. This is very disturbing. Okay, let's now go to the next halacha dal. Let's try to cover some ground. The halacha sif dalet. Manichin es ha'tfilin mu'umot. So how, when you make the bracha, lehaniach svardim. Okay, we're going to see the halachas now. There are three minhagim how to put on the tefillin shaliach. Let's see what it says. The Ramah, minig Ashkenaz, is the minig of the Ramah, is everything is done standing. I assume most of us over here look like minig Ramah people. Our Sfardi, our resident Sfardi, is not here today. So if he'll be here, he'll be screaming at me and telling me, no, that's not what you do. Umanichim esatzilin umid. You have to put on tefillin standing. Okay, we'll see them in a few moments. Next, another halacha. When you take this in halacha, people, something you see children do this. When you take out the tefillin of kedusha, don't shake them out of the box. Don't hold the box, open the box, and shake the box, and have the tefillin fall out, dump out. You take the tefillin out of the box. You don't take the box out of the tefillin. Lo yinaher es hatfilin min hatif mishum bizui mitzvah. Ella yikochem biyada, take the tefillin in your hand. Meniach tefillah shal yad, you first put on the tefillin shal yad. The koydem shemahadik esakesh, before you tighten the knot, mevorech, it has to be over lasya. So you don't make the bracha when you're holding the tefillin in the tick, of course. You put on the tefillin on your arm, and right before you're about to tie it, mevorech lehoniach tefillin. Why don't you make the bracha likshar tefillin? I think it says it over here. Why don't you make the bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvah likshar to tie the tefillin? Because that would have a connotation. It's a 1 second, it's a one shot mitzvah. You tie the tefillin and you take it off. You do it for one moment. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah of tefillin is it should be upon you the entire day. Lulav, there's no real mitzvah to hold the lulav the entire day. The mitzvah is just to take it for a moment. The Anshe Yerushalayim, they had a chavivas for the mitzvah. They did it. They walk with it the entire day. But technically, most mitzvahs are just one moment mitzvahs. You do the mitzvah and you finish. There's nothing more to do. If the bracha would be likshar tefillin, it would have a connotation: tie it on my body, say Kriya Shema, and you're done. That's wrong. Ideally, a person should be wearing tefillin the entire day. We can't do this because we're not able to properly have kavana and to treat it with the kedusha that it deserves, so we don't wear it the entire day. But that's why the bracha is lehoniach tefillin, which has the connotation that the tefillin shall remain upon our body for a prolonged period of time. So the bracha is lehoniach tefillin.
So the term to lay tefillin, derived from the Yiddish, is
lehoniach, to lay tefillin.
Lehoniach,
correct, exactly. To lay tefillin, excellent. It's to lay tefillin, right. Not to...
That it should rest.
It should rest, exactly. Because we want to imply it should be there for a long period of time. Lehoniach tefillin, ha-hei bekamatz, he points out that's lehoniach. Lehoniach means to put the tefillin, the halamet shall tefillin the gusha, and the lamet has a dot, lehonech tefillin, the dot, the lamet is emphasized, there's a dot in the tefillin, we learned this before, pelila, there are really two lamets. It means to advocate. The tefillin, when the tefillin are upon us, it serves for us as a sign. It's a defender. When your person is wearing tefillin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person and sees he's wearing tefillin, the tefillin is an advocate for the person. It's a palila. Palila means it's a defense attorney for us. Okay, it's a judge. It's an advocate. It's serving for our benefit. Now, by the way, some of the custom do six. Does anyone here do six? What?
There's one person in my shul does.
The six.
I asked him, because I knew he wasn't making a mistake in his mind. You know.
How did I know he supposed to do six? I'll tell you a funny story, because when I put out for the very first time, when I was a little kid, once upon a time, so someone took pictures. So I looked at the pictures later on, and I counted the ritzus on my arm, and there were only six. There were only six, not seven. I made a mistake. I put on seven times. So I showed this to my Rebbe. And Rebbe says, don't feel bad, because there's such an opinion that you're only supposed to put on six. So it's not necessary. That's how I learned. And I learned that halach, but in the Chanami,
count like half here and half.
Some count, that counts as seven. But okay, fine. So we, what?
Half, six and another half.
Ah, so you do six. Okay, so you do. So here it says you do a total of seven. Now, some people do three on something, and they tie on top. They do three and make a shin on top.
Yeah.
Some do that. All different. They're all different in Hagen. So meniach. Mahadnik is a kesher of zayin krichas al yada. You do seven krichas al yada. You ach yach, and afterwards meniach moniach taketh es shalosh mishnapi mafsek. You should immediately hear it tell just do six krichos, seven krichos. Do not wrap around your finger at all. Immediately put on the tefillah shel rosh and do not be mafsek, because the bracha of lehoniach tefillin is also refers to the tefillin shel rosh. So if you're going to delay, it's a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah.
When you have those, you say something.
But you're not allowed to say anything.
There's a thing.
No, but after you make the bracha l'neich tefil, you don't say anything. You only say those things after you finish the bracha on the tefillin shel rosh. After you say Asher Kiddush, no, there's nothing before. There's nothing in between the bracha.
I just go.
No, there's nothing that's said in between the tefillin shel yam, the tefillin shel rosh. They rast the chlili olam.
That's later on.
No.
Not anymore.
Those psukim that are said after the tefillin shel rosh, those are said after you make the bracha al mitzvahs baruch shem kod malchuso liolam voed. Umechachmascha tatsil olai umibinascha tivinenu v'chasa tag delai v'roscha tatsmis olai v'kamai v'shem v'atoyev tarukh v'shem v'knei amnura v'yashpia tivchal v'yosecha v'osecha sidecha v'asivu l'chokai ratzon. Right, so I said it by heart. It's just like a computer program, autopilot. If you tell me the psukim. I don't know. I can't tell you. But when I'll go through the whole process, in my mind, al mitzvahs tefillin, al mitzvahs baruch shem kod, umechachem v'chasas le. I'll tell you a funny story. Every day I open my combination lock to get my tefillin. I've been opening this combination lock, I'm not exaggerating, for at least 25 years. I opened that combination lock. How many times in 25 years have I opened the combination lock? But I always open it at the same time in the day. In the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, I open the combination lock. So one time I had to get my tefillin. So I come there to get my tefillin 9 o'clock at night. I come into the building to open it. What's the combination? And for the life of me,
change your watch.
For the life of me, I don't remember the combination. It's scary. I don't know the combination. I opened the combination 25 years, and I'm coming now, 9 o'clock at night, to pick up my... I'm going to a bris the following morning. I forgot to take all my tefillin. So I go to shul to get my tefillin. I don't know the combination, because it's not 7 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, that's when my mind is will open up. So with these parts of davening, it's on auto. Unfortunately, it's on autopilot.
It's a senior moment.
Okay.
It's a junior senior moment. You daven in the same shul every morning at 7 o'clock.
Yes. Okay, so here we go. You make al mitzvahs. It's mitzvahs and not mitzvos. Mitzvos blush is plural. There's only one tefillin. You only bring a brach on the tefillin in the one pair of tefillin. You tie it on your head. Why? So here the Kiddush tells V'atam. What is the reason we say Baruch Shem? V'atam shach loyim Baruch Shem Kodmalchus Liyolam Vohu. There's a Safik Bracha Levatala. And B'meishi Yesh Safik Bracha Levatala. Because according to one opinion, you don't make a Bracha on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So it was a Bracha Levatala. And therefore, whenever a person is Bracha Levatala, you're supposed to say. Now he says something which is very important. This halacha applies. Savik bracha levatala is not just for you who makes the bracha. This is a very interesting issue. It also applies to the person that's listening. If you make your bracha too loud, and someone hears you make the bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvahs mitzvahs tefillin, does your neighbor answer amen to that bracha? Exactly, or not only yeah, it's a chiv. So lechin, therefore, yesh gam sadek b'shtavim mashmei yano amin olo. Al kendi for nir li, the kid who says nir li, very rare where the Kitzur says, when I hold my personal opinion, he's not just quoting over here when it says a Shulchan Aruch, Nira Li, Ki Toiv Levarich Bracha Zos Belachash. You should make this bracha quietly. Next, Leachash Nichs Shalroshos Tabritsua Shal Yad Gimel Krichas. Then you shall wrap it around your finger three times. Al Etzbohem Tsoi, the middle finger. A Echad Beperikoem Tsoi. Ubeiz Beperika Tachtoin. One, the middle. Tachton here means, Tachton means, when you put your hand up, it means lower down. So one time around the center, two times, a total of three times. What about the rest of you? He doesn't tell you. That's not important. Everyone does it differently. It all depends on if you're Ashkenaz or Sephardi. Are you wrapping away or are you wrapping towards your hand? And also, if you're a Sephardi, they do it a little bit differently. But one thing that everyone has in common that you wrap around your finger three times. Once in the middle section and two times on the what we call the lower section. Yeah?
Where did it come from? Where the Ashkenaz and Sephardi?
The difference, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. If you go away, you wrap away, you wrap towards. I don't know. Doesn't make a difference. It's not makif. Okay, let's see, just to finish up. Let's see the Kitzur Chinuch Dal. Let's see in the bottom, the Tezvav. Manichin es atzfilin lumen. You put on the tefillin when you are, you make the bracha when you are standing. So here, who told us to do this? This is the Shid of the Ramah, HaRamah. Hechriya kain v'loy kizoyhar. Okay, if you're a Mekubal, you're not going to do this. Sheyenichu tefillin shal yad miyushav. The Sephardim, they are much more into the Inyanei Kabbalah. They put on the tefillin shal yad when they are sitting. Sheyenichu tefillin shal yad miyushav. Chayim arshal v'huva b'chok Yaakov. Because of Gamkin, sheyenichu movement. Some also tell many Ashkenazim places that say that you should make the bracha when you're sitting. What does the Magen Avraham say to do? Even the people believe it or not, even though we almost follow every Magen Avraham here, we don't follow Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says you should make a pshara. You should make the bracha when you are standing, but sit down to actually put on the tefillin. Magen Avraham hechriya. He makes a compromise. De habracha mu'umid. No one does that. The Rami Pano also did this. He made the bracha standing and he sat down to tie it. The Hayoim, the Kitzur says, the Rabbi Bruin says, he wrote this in this, probably the 70s, no, in the 50s. Kvar nohagu kiharamah, the minuka oilam is to follow the ramah, lehaniach mu'umid, to make the bracha and to put on the tulin shal yad while you are standing. Everything is done when you are standing. That is the minigan Mishnah Berurah. She'ein lozuz mehan minhag. That is the custom not to follow the Magen Avraham. Tes zayim v'arich alaniach megim luhaniach. Ayin b'bach v'atam shem v'arichim likshar tefillin. Okay, we got to mention this. It's very important. You don't make the bracha likshar tefillin. Kilishna dikra. It says in the pasuk ukashartem, the siv ukashartem, mishum the ikur mitzvah tefillin hu sheyeh alav kol hayoyim. V'im hayim mevarich likshar tefillin hayim mashma shekosher tefillin al yodoy v'al roshoy rega achas, one moment. V'achar kach yochol lehosir, you can remove them. Luchen tiknu, therefore Chazal instituted lehoniach de mashma sheyeh munachim olav sho achas al koponim, that it just shouldn't be there for at least a show, means an hour. You should at least have the tefillin upon you for a show. So there's now that it's don't take you to daven is 1 hour. We don't. It's a relative term. 18 minutes for some people is considered a halachic hour, but you should keep on the tefillin at least during a significant period of time, what he calls here, sho'achas, for 1 hour, al koponim, ayin sham. Okay, so we will stop here, we'll take a break.